Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today with John Downing.
Now, John Downing, a very good morning to you. And here we are on Eurovision weekend with no RTE covering Eurovision. But we seem to have gone back to the past. We've gone back a couple of years at least. And we're back into another mess, which is going to reach the political world of RTE's own making. As Fionnán Sheehan in your newspaper says, Craggy Island and the Father's TED show is going out tomorrow night in place of Eurovision. It's Craggy Island economics and accounting by RTE again. Hard to believe, yes, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's extraordinary stuff. Derek Mooney, the Nature Programme presenter. It turns out he wasn't a presenter. I mean, I'm listening to him on the wireless for nearly 30 years. It turns out he was for a while classified as a producer because he did produce at one stage. But I mean, sure, he's never much off those nature programs on radio and sometimes on television, and a big following he has too. So I mean, anyway, it took him out of the high earners list, and you know, it's just another fine mess. I mean, you know, bringing it back just when RTE could lay claim to having put some order on the barrack. Here we go again, back to the future, as you said.
Yeah, and more work for the Oireachtas Committee on Media to do in relation to that, I'd imagine. I'm not sure anyone is buying the explanations being given as to why suddenly in 2020 he was reclassified. It looks like, and I'm, with the best will in the world, I'm willing to give them more time to explain. It looks like it was done to get him off the list for whatever reason. And now the problem here is all the management involved, they're all gone. So the people in charge now can say, well, nothing to do with us. That was all people who no longer are at the organisation.
Yes, absolutely. Mr. O'Rourke, the chairman, last night on television said, well, I don't actually know who they are, but they're gone anyway. So, I mean, really, you know, it doesn't look great. And, you know, I think we are entitled to join the dots here and conclude that the list was a bit congested. So they decided, with a bit of sleight of hand, they could lighten the load. And you know, again, it's, and by the way, this is the organisation which, quite rightly, you know, from the journalist's point of view, you know, frequently asks all the hard questions, has relentlessly pursued politicians for every bob of expenses and allowances and payments that they get, grill them on radio and television and so on. And then you find there's an element of physician heal thyself. Is it your own story you're telling after all? So, yeah, not a good day.
No, certainly not. It hasn't been a good week. It hasn't been a good 6 months, really, for Keir Starmer in 10 Downing Street, John. And we're seeing a bit of an episode of Game of Thrones playing out. There's even a character in this called the King in the North from that world-famous novel series and television series, Andy Burnham, who in an extraordinary turn has managed to persuade a Labour MP to drop his seat so he can run to get into the House of Commons in a by-election to then challenge Keir Starmer. He's one of many challengers, including the Health Minister, as we'll call him here, or Health Secretary, Wes Streeting. This all started with some pretty disastrous local election results, John. And it has implications for us here, of course.
Yes, there's a wipeout in the council elections in England, and in the Home Rule Parliament elections for Cardiff and for Edinburgh. And a very symbolic thing happened in, we don't often talk about Wales, I don't think the English even are only vaguely aware, even though it's only over the road from them, are very aware of the place. But they lost Labour since, for the first time in its existence, lost control of Wales, of the politics of Wales, which is quite a blow. And we're left with a situation in Northern Ireland headed by Sinn Féin, Scotland headed by the Scottish National Party, and Wales headed by Plaid Cymru, the Welsh National Party, and all three leading parties in those three elements of the United Kingdom want separation from the United Kingdom. So it's a strange outcome unto itself. But yes, Andy Burnham, the king of the North, a mayor of the greater Manchester area, is trying to get back into Parliament so he can go and lead Labour. He will have a lot of support, but it's not a gimme that he's going to win the by-election, because that is an area by now which in which Reform UK, Nigel Farage's party, did extremely well in the council elections last week. And it's an inexact science extrapolating council to Westminster Parliament. But the suggestion is that this seat would go to Reform. Now, Andy Burnham is an extremely popular Labour candidate. He's seen by many within Labour as the saviour of the party. Meanwhile, as you say, Wes Streeting, maybe Angela Rayner, we don't know yet, the former deputy leader, are fielding. We know Wes Streeting, the health minister, is fielding.
Yeah, and that will all play out over the next while. How the country is run then is the background to all of this, John, and the economic trouble that they're in. A lot of it down to the economic disaster that was Brexit and other problems that they're facing. Keir Starmer's trying to cleave closer to Europe now as a response to all the turmoil internationally on that. But we have Reform who are benefiting from all of this, who want to get further away from Europe.
Yes, I mean it's very contradictory and quite a mess. We're coming up to the 10th anniversary next month of the Brexit vote. Surely the greatest element of self-harm inflicted on any country. They walked from the biggest market, which was only over the water from them, 450 million people, and all of the complications. And I was reading back during the week, because looking at all of this, all of the indicators are of absolute carnage in the economy in terms of growth, in terms of jobs, in terms of capital investment, the whole lot. By one sort of back of the envelope, what all of that adds up to is a loss of $100 billion per year, which is quite an extraordinary sum of money. And certainly it is part. I mean, Starmer has, if he is going, and I think it's very hard to see him being able to hold the line here, but he would be a loss to the island of Ireland. He was certainly has been, continues to be a friend to Ireland and a great benefit to Ireland, his efforts to forge a new and positive relationship with the European Union. So, you know, the others, Burnham is very much aware of the Irish dimension. As mayor of Manchester, he has been on several trade missions to Ireland, is very aware also of the strong Irish immigrant legacy in the north, the northeast of England, where he is, has spoken very warmly about that. So you could expect he would definitely sort of continue the Starmer legacy, possibly Wes Streeting also, because and or Angela Rayner, because they were both very fervent Remainers, but they don't have the same feeling for Ireland and Irish issues as Starmer and perhaps Burnham.
Yeah, and the question then, the wider question, John, finally on this, is that the implications for us, are we getting closer to a general election in the UK? Not one scheduled for 2029. However, if there is one, is Nigel Farage then the man leading the country? And what implications are that for Ireland? Are we back to the fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants, not reading the briefing notes style of Boris Johnson, or worse, Trumpian-style politics that he espouses, and the implications for Northern Ireland and our economic relationship?
Yes, I think Farage would be even worse than the meddling, the mixture of meddling and indifference and lack of work rate and lack of knowledge of Boris Johnson in that job. There shouldn't be a general election. As you say, they're good to stay until the summer of 2029, this Labour government. They have a huge mandate. But with this level of instability, God knows what could happen. So it's all out there, and not a wild amount of good news for Ireland in any of it, really. The only thing, without being unduly smug, we certainly have all our problems, all our issues. But all of this makes Ireland's politics right now look rather sane and stable.
Yeah, remarkable, John. If it does work that Andy Burnham becomes, he'd be the first Catholic Prime Minister of the UK. And this week the King's Speech happened, and part of the tradition of that is that someone's got to go down to check the cellar under Parliament to see if there's a modern day Guy Fawkes of 1605 fame who was looking to kill King James and blow up Parliament to try and get the Catholics back in control. So 400 years on, there'll be a Catholic in charge again.
Yes, absolutely extraordinary. Daniel O'Connell must be smiling down from somewhere high up in the sky.
That's for sure.
Cahir Daniel's own. But anyway, yeah. Here we go.
John, stay with us. We're going to talk more about the Dáil Week and other things as well. We'll get to that and more after we take these.
Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today with John Downing.
Yeah, John Downing of the Irish Independent with us on the line for a call from the Dáil. And John, there's two by-elections going, interesting polls out showing, maybe not what we expected in some places, but the story has been dominated this week by Dublin Central and Bertie Ahern, former Fianna Fáil leader, of course, former Taoiseach of the country, at the doorstep, recorded without his knowledge, and coming out with some spicy lines on immigration, shall we say, on Africans and people from the Congo.
Yeah. I know Bertie Ahern an awfully long time, and one thing you could accuse him and criticise him on all sorts of levels, but I believe he has not a single racist bone in his body. He was out canvassing, therefore he was going to say things. That's what you do when you go out canvassing. You're trying to win people over. You're not trying to alienate them or have a flaming row with them. So he was recorded without his knowledge. He did make comments, but if you stand back, which alarmed people, they were seized upon by critics of government and Fianna Fáil, and there was concern expressed by some organisations that represent minorities and migrants, and I hear particularly the concerns of minorities and migrants. But if you stand back and analyse what Bertie Ahern actually said, I think it was very reasonable. I think one of the legacies of bigots who have been saying shocking things and behaving appallingly on this issue is that if you say anything that is critical or realistic in reality, you're bracketed as some kind of bigot. He is right. I lived for 10 years in Brussels, and there is a big issue of the next generation. There's a big Moroccan, Algerian, Turk community in Brussels, and some, not by no means all, there is good integration and a very strong effort, but there is also the danger of an identity crisis for people who grow up. This was the point I think Bertie Ahern was making. If you grow up in Dublin and you're conflicted about, are you an Irish person or are you Congolese or are you wherever your parents come from? You know, are you vulnerable then to being radicalized to problems like that? And I think these are legitimate questions. And I do not for one split second believe Bertie Ahern is remotely racist. He's quite the opposite. Bertie Ahern has always been about consensus in Northern Ireland, consensus in industrial relations, union management, all that sort of thing. So, you know, there you are. But funny things happen.
John, yeah.
Yeah?
So, go on, ahead. Yeah.
I just
have funny things. No, I was going to say, are his efforts in vain anyway in Dublin Central, regardless of him trying to tell the person what they wanted to hear? Sinn Féin in driving seats, Social Democrats hard on their heels.
Yes, absolutely. And this, the opinion poll you were talking about there, T.G. Cahir, by the way, head of news, T.G. Cahir, a good West Kerry man, Dáil Mhúra, Aston Chuin, T.G. Cahir and the Irish Times this morning. Some good news for Sinn Féin, because let's recall Dublin Central is the constituency of party leader Mary Lou MacDonald. They're shown in the lead on 21%, but hot on their heels on 18% is the Social Democrats, and they're kind of political flavour of the month right now. Their candidate, Daniel Ellis, is on 18%. The Independent and the man identified in the Special Criminal Court, where he was acquitted of murder, by the way, but he was also cited as a key criminal figure in Dublin, he's on 14%. Now, Jerry Hutch won't win, but he's setting down a strong marker for next time, the general election. He is also potentially the kingmaker, because of course, like most elections, this is about transfers, and it seems they ask various questions about transfers, and there's a strong suggestion that the plethora of independent, non-aligned, dissident candidates could switch to the Social Democrats and Daniel Ellis, in which case, very bad news for Sinn Féin and Mary Lou MacDonald. He could actually come home. The Social Democrats could actually win that one. Remains to be seen. It will be the father and mother of a week of campaigning in Galway West, but more especially in Dublin Central. And the big issue for Sinn Féin will be trying to get the vote out, because Dublin Central is not renowned for engagement and
turnouts.
And by-elections are even worse. I mean, probably two out of three voters in Dublin Central just won't bother to show, which is pretty shocking unto itself, but that's the way it is. So we'll see a very torrid week.
Yeah, we certainly will. And it'll be a challenging week for Fianna Fáil in both constituencies. But this weekend, they're celebrating 100 years. Is this a muted celebration because they're in power and they're keeping an eye on popularity and all of that? Or should it be celebrated as a party that have been a key part of, you know, the democratic process since the foundation of the state?
Yes, absolutely. And I think they will be reminding us again, and they have grounds to say that they're the biggest party in the Oireachtas, especially in the Dáil. They have 48 TDs, nearest behind them, Sinn Féin with 39. That's the last time out. They're the biggest party in local government, in all the councils. And they have a very strong presence, some very talented people in the European Parliament. However, you know, I suppose a cynic would look at them and say, well, you're 100 years at it. And how did it take you so long to get so small? Because opinion polls show that basically these days they're in the mid-teens in terms of support. If you go way back to when they first came into government, they dominated Irish politics for 80, 90 years. When they first came into government in 1932, they had support in the mid-40s. And sometimes they even nudged up and over 50%. So suddenly, like, they have a fraction of that kind of support. So I think there will be calls for renewal, rebooting, and going back to some ideas of thinking outside the box, which they were at times good at over the centuries, or sorry, over the decades, I mean. So it's going to be a very interesting one to watch.
Yeah, it certainly will.
Tomorrow.
And we'll see how it'll go this weekend.
Kerry delegates probably already making their way.
They are indeed.
Dublin
and
we'll see
what they say. John, brilliant stuff. We'll talk more about that maybe next week as to how it all plays out and other things. But thanks a million for talking to us on the programme this morning. John Dowling on Call from the Dáil. If you have a view on what he had to say, get in touch.
Kerry Today on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you in association with KWD Recycling. Collecting waste and recycling at your door.
It's almost 10 o'clock. Noix Newman's Tralee. A great excuse to change your kitchen.
It's Neuex Newman's Kitchen Floors, Decks and Doors.